right, everybody. Welcome to episode number 30 of the Fantasy Timeline, a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network. Bill, episode 30, are we like over the hill or does that happen episode 40?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, it's definitely 40, I think. That's at least when I started feeling over the hill. But
So we'll get into that when we hit episode 40. But how are you doing today, Bill?
Oh, doing good. I'm just, you know, I'm glad that honestly, like just to get away and be able to talk some football today, you know, it's been a crazy week, man. And it's just, you know, it's nice to just be able to talk some football for a minute, sure. You know,
for sure. And if you're watching us on Periscope or on YouTube, you see another face with us. We have Super Flex Junkie here. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Josh. Appreciate you, men, for having me on, and I'm really excited to just talk some fantasy with you, men. You're talking about over the hill here. I thought you were taking shots at me now.
No, not me.
No, I'm teasing you. The 30's good.
30's good. You still got a lot going on.
That's right.
At 30, so.
Yeah, so what? And Super Flex Junkie is Bobby. So
yes, you know, that's right.
So we can get, if you hear us say Bobby, you know who we're talking about.
Yep, that's me. That's me.
So no real NFL news this week, but before we get into the timeline, I just wanted to talk for a second. You know, Bill kind of mentioned it's been a crazy week in our country. A lot of things going on, obviously. You know, stemming from the death of George Floyd. And, you know, it's not an easy thing to talk about, and I'm not going to spend too much time talking about it because that's not what the pod is about. But, you know, it's important. You know, I'm a Hispanic guy, you know, living in this country. You know, I have a Caucasian wife. Bill and I, we do this podcast together. Bill is legitimately one of the nicest people that I know, not just on Twitter, but in my personal life as well. Everybody, let's just you know, work together. Let's just see each other as human beings. Let's just, you know, it's what it's all about. I mean, we all have our differences. You know, it doesn't matter if it's, you know, color of our skin or what we believe, you know, politically or religiously or whatever, man. But at the end of the day, we're all just human beings, and we all want a lot of the same things. So, you know, that I just wanted to say that. I wanted to spit that out because, you know, I think it's an important message for us all to hear at this time. And I just appreciate my man Bill. We, you know, we work together so well, and you know, it's not hard, man. Like it's really not hard. Let's just work together and let's just, you know, love each other as human beings. But
yeah, here. You
know, now that, you know, I kind of said my piece and you know, Bill echoes the same things. Please don't think that this is just a me thing. You know, Bill,
I'm echoed, right there with you, men, as well.
And Bobby's with
yeah,
us.
Yeah,
well.
For like, sure. My whole thing is, you know, we just gotta, you know, love is the word, man. That's what it's about. Yeah. And, you know, our community, like fantasy football community as a whole, is pretty incredible. Just being like positive. I mean, people argue and that kind of stuff, but it's like the support in this, you know, little nook of Twitter is pretty incredible. And, you know, nobody knows. I mean, people know different people's ethnicities, but you don't. You know, a lot of people like mine, I don't have anything, you know, nobody would know if I didn't have a podcast, if I, right. What, you know, ethnicity right. I was, but you know, and it really doesn't matter. Nobody's even, it's not even a thing. So like, that's the whole thing. And I mean, it matters because you have to respect what it is, you know what I'm saying? But it's not, that's not the be all end all. And so people just need to respect everybody's life. Everybody's reality is different. You need to just learn and accept and appreciate those differences, in my opinion. So yeah, that's where I am.
Cool. And I mean, you nailed it on the head. So but before we get into the timeline, just talk about Scott Fishbowl real quick in our eliminator.
Let me talk about Scott Fishbowl for a second.
Oh, okay. You want to talk? Go ahead.
So last week there was three members of the Scott Fishbowl that had invite, or three members of the DAP network that had Scott Fishbowl invites. And then the second member, not the second member, the first member of Fantasy Timeline got theirs. Josh got his invite last week, which was just, I was super stoked about that because, you know, it kind of feels awkward when one of you has it and the other one doesn't. And then the other two guys, Dustin and Rocky, from Fantasy or Dynasty Junkies got theirs. So we got the clean sweep of the channel. So that's awesome. Were you in it last year, Bobby?
I was. Last year was my first year.
Okay.
And I was in the same division with Ryan McDowell.
Oh,
and
cool.
So that was. Can't remember whether I beat him or not when we squared off head to head.
Let's say you did.
Well, I did make the playoffs, and I think I went one round before. Russ Wilson laid an egg. I think in one, it was a San Francisco game.
Yeah,
I don't know, whatever it was, but it was a blast though. The community that's generated from the fantasy community, and I don't have to tell you guys about the cause, you know, the purpose of this whole thing that Scott's doing with Toys for Tots, and so that's a good thing. Waiting on. Possibly getting an invite this year, but you know, I think I jumped in a few eliminators, and you know, whether you get invited or not, you know, being a part of helping out the primary thing. So
yeah, and there's still like 30% of the invites to be left.
There are about 300 or so invites to come out, and so I've got my fingers crossed.
Yep, well, and I think if people still, you know, want to, I think they can still even sign up to be, to be like, to get a chance. So,
okay. I wasn't sure whether the signups were still on there.
So Bobby's saying, do not do that.
I signed up really late last year.
Okay. And you got in. So that's
fortunate
cool.
enough to sneak in. So
there you go.
If you're out there and you haven't signed up and you know, you feel like, well, I don't have a chance. You're wrong. So
it's so true. And, you know, Bobby quickly mentioned it, you know, this is all for Fantasy Cares. All the donations go to Toys for Tots. I mean, the crazy thing is I didn't get in last year, but still seeing all of the pictures of these guys across the country buying toys. And I mean, they're not buying a shopping cart full of toys. They're buying a U-Haul truck full of toys and then delivering them to their local Toys for Tots. And it's amazing how many toys, not only does Scott Fishbowl get from the tournament, from the Fishbowl tournament, but there's the SFB Potathon, which is going to be happening on July 5th, I believe. And you can buy shirts and the money goes to Fantasy Care. I mean, they raise so much money, and it's for such a good cause. I
mean, that G.I. Joe shirt is just sick.
I got that today. I'm not going to lie. I got the G.I. Joe shirt and the Transformers shirt. So
nerd.
And I'm not going to lie. Me and my wife had to negotiate that because I wanted to buy all the shirts. And she told me no, but I have a feeling that I'm going to get in trouble when I go back in a few weeks and buy the rest of the shirts. But that'll be something down the road that I'll have to pay for. But literally and figuratively.
Right, there you go.
But it's all for such a good cause. And now that all six of us are in, I'm going to channel SFB8 champion Stompy. Stompy made it his own when he put on the singlet and he scarred all of our eyes and our memories. But to take it to a wrestling space here, the DAP network is like the NWO. We're coming in. We're going to be in a few different divisions. and we're just going to take this thing apart piece by piece. And somebody from the DAP network is winning it. We got six shots. Guaranteeing victory again.
Okay. So just so I'm not much of a wrestling guy. Like, I used to watch wrestling, you know, when I was younger, and I probably made it through about where you're talking about with the NWO and like Stone Cold. Like, that was around when I was like the last that I ever watched any of it. And, yeah. Kevin Nash is actually from my hometown, so that's funny that you he is part of the NWO.
So we got big sexy Bill McCarthy coming through. he's gonna be kicking people in the face, but we got one here from our main man, one of our leaders, Brian Hart, hashtag 6 for 6 at DAP Network. You got that right. And one of us is gonna win this thing. It's gonna be glorious. It's gonna be all for the DAP Network. But and, you know, in all sincerity, it's such a cool thing that Scott is doing. Yeah. And we talked about the community a little bit, you know, a little bit earlier. Man, the amount of people that just liked my post, you know, just saying that I got in was insane. People I've never heard
of. Yeah, that's cool.
You know, people that, you know, I'm now following on Twitter because I didn't know about them before I put that post. I mean, it just brings people together too, which is awesome.
Yeah, it does.
And another awesome part about this whole thing are the John Bosch Eliminators. So Bill and I spoke about this last week. We reached out. We said, John, can we have an Eliminator? He said, yeah, man, just get 10 people together and you're in. And I mean, it was pretty quick. We got 10 people. We're in. I believe there's still some spots open. So,
yep. If Bobby is son-in-law,
yeah,
isn't your son-in-law in it? Yeah, and
I did. I got Drew. I got him pumped up. You know, to
cool.
You know, all about Scott Fishball last year, and
yeah.
And we have. Yeah. I
it's
mean,
it's a good cause. It's a,
it is. It's awesome, and it's, you know, it's a $10 donation to Fantasy Cares for your team. Half the money goes to the winner, I believe, and half the money goes to Fantasy Care. So, yeah. I mean, when we fill up,
man, and while that's true, Josh, I would venture to guess. I think one of the eliminators I was in last year, I came down to like the final. I guess it was me and another guy, and both of us, you know, had already made up our minds that we were going to, you know, give 100% of any winnings, you know, to Fantasy Cares. And I would venture to say that most of the fans that are playing in these things, push comes to shove, they're not doing it to walk away with any cash.
I know if we win it, we're donating. Yeah. So that's for sure.
I mean, we're definitely donating it back if we win. I mean, and I think you're right, Bobby. A lot of people, they really understand what this is all about. You know, this Scott Fishbowl, Scott goes through so much work, literally for no compensation except for the fact that he's doing such a good thing. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing because, I mean, I know, I personally don't know, and I'm sure maybe there's a handful of people on this planet that know the amount of work that he does to put this together every year. It's insane just looking at it from the outside. I'm sure from the inside, it's even crazier.
Right.
And I know a few people who won Eliminators last year that did the same thing. They donated it right back to Fantasy Cares. And
you talk about the amount of work that Scott puts into this. I can't even imagine. Because, you know, keeping up with, you know, people like John Bosch, who's putting these eliminators together. And of course, Ryan McDowell, you know, puts a ton of work into this thing. And to see the kind of work that those guys do, in fact, I think, what is it? Russ, Fantasy Outhouse?
Yep.
He's helping John. And I think I read a Twitter comment about, man, you know, like, I think he was saying something to John about, I don't know how you even do this, you know, there's so much work involved in it. So a lot of people are really pulling together with Scott. Yeah. So it tells you how much work he's doing to really get this thing off the ground.
It's insane. And it's for such a good cause. So hey, if you're listening to this and you want to go head to head with Bill and I in an eliminator, we still got some spots open. You know, throw your $10 donation into Fantasy Cares and have a good time. That's what it's going to be all about. We're going to have a draft. You know, trust me, Bill and I will be in there. Bill will be his nice, kind self. I will make fun of you for all of your bad picks, so be ready. We won't make any because Bill will have majority control. He's the smart one, if I haven't said this already. So, but no, it is. It's going to be a good time. And, you know, we have, I saw we have our, we had our first female member of our eliminator, which was really cool. It was good seeing that. And if for some reason Bill and I stumble, I think she'll be the odds on winner to take it all. But, yeah, it's a cool thing. And you know what, if we end up being filled or we're just not your cup of tea, there are a lot of other eliminators out there. Our guys at the open bar got one. Trade Addicts probably have 7 by now because they fill up so quick. You know, go on there, find a person that you dig, that you like listening to, that you like reading their writing, whatever the case may be, and join an eliminator. So now that we got all of that on the books, let's go to what we saw on the timeline.
Yeah.
So, fellas, our first one here is from our boy at the Dynasty Junkies, Dustin Church at Dynasty Junkie FF. Which side do you got? AJ Brown and a mid 2021 first, or I'm sorry, a mid 2021 second, or Calvin Ridley and a mid 2021 first? So let me say that again because I stumbled a little bit. AJ Brown in a mid 2021 second, or Calvin Ridley in a mid 2021 first. We'll start with our guest, Bobby. What do you think?
Okay, that's pretty close. Personally, would probably go with AJ Brown and the second, only because. I this isn't original. I was listening to Dynasty Junkies. You guys were on the last episode, and I think it was you, Bill, that were made a point. You're talking about, say what you will, Calvin Ridley, his numbers are good. I think he had 800 and some yards off of like 60 some receptions last year in 13 games, which was comparable to what he did in 16 games the year before. But nevertheless, he's the wide receiver too on that team. And so I think I'd probably want to go with AJ Brown and take the second now. Maybe some will argue, well, hey, what about the first? You know, the 2021, what is it, a mid first? Josh,
Mid.
You know, that's still hit or miss. I mean, now this year's draft and next year's draft are pretty stout. But I mean, I remember Ryan McDowell put something out several months ago on Twitter where he put out the top 10 picks in fantasy over the last like 10 years. And it showed you know how many busts there were.
Yep.
You know, you got guys taking fifth or sixth or seventh and you know,
and every year really we think it, out. Yeah, and every year we think that it's always going to be you're going to hit on all of them.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I'm just one who tends not to really get too caught up in the rookie fever.
Right.
In fact, yeah. So I'd probably go with AJ Brown in the second.
Okay.
That's what about you, Bill?
Yeah, I think I might lean the opposite. I think the reason is because I love AJ Brown. Like, he's a guy I would love to have on my team and have him on my team for the next 8 years. However, I feel like Calvin Ridley's probably going to score about the same amount of points as AJ Brown this year. I think AJ Brown's going to regress a little bit just because he was so efficient last year. And like, he's going to have to get a ton of targets just to like kind of be, you know, to match his production, I think, this year. So I think that having Calvin Ridley, the value, his value can spike more. And then I have that first. And as much as we maybe don't, or, you know, even if you don't value the first, there's always people that are going to value the first, so you can get additional value on top. So that's kind of playing, you know, I mean, some people, like, I cannot fault either way. But, you know, I think it's just a matter of, like, how you play the game. Like, if I play, like, stocks. So I'm buying guys, I'm selling guys, I'm buying guys. Like, I'm just always adding guys that I think can bump up in value so I can sell them for more. And then that's how I build my roster. And, you know, so I want the guy I feel that can go up in value more this year. And so that's, you know, but AJ Brown, man, who can argue with having him on your team? So, but I'm going with the Ridley side, I think, for this.
Yeah. So it's interesting that you brought up stocks, Bill, because, and I'm going to apologize to Outhouse now. I've never been high. I'm not high on either one of these guys because I feel like they are going for max value right now. And I'm not usually someone who wants to buy a player at their peak. Now, I also agree with you that I think AJ Brown had a super efficient year last year. And I also think that Ryan Tannehill, forgot his name for a second, also had a super efficient year last year. And for AJ Brown to hit what we expect them to hit, we almost have to believe that Ryan Tannehill is going to do in 2020 what he did in 2019, which I don't believe he will, because his efficiency was insane. They were something like, they scored like 38 out of 40 touchdowns in the red zone at one point. I mean, they were like, they weren't even kicking field goals. They were just scoring touchdowns. It was insane. And I don't think it's going to be the same this year. So quarterback-wise, I feel that even though I don't like either guy, Ridley does have the advantage. Now, yes, Ridley will be number two behind Julio unless there is an injury. But I look at the picks. I'll take the first over the second because, you know, whether I use that pick, if it is mid, because one thing I also don't like to do is just assume a pick is going to be within a range for next year's draft, because, you know, a couple guys on that mid team get hot and that team is in the championship, or that mid team has a whole ton of injuries and all of a sudden they're a top three pick. So we don't really know right now, but I'll take the first round pick, obviously, over the second round pick, because whether I use it or I roll it into something else, you know, it's a great asset to have, especially this year. You know, we're slowly starting to hear that, you know, hey, this 2021 class is pretty good too, and there's a lot going on, and, you know, so we're already starting to hear those rumblings. And once, you know, September, October come and we've, you know, hopefully had some college football to watch, you know, those murmurs are going to get even louder. So give me Ridley, give me the first, and I'll be happy. And to be honest, you know, this was pretty close. This was, you know, 54.5% for the Ridley side, 45.5% for the AJ Brown side. So, you know, almost a 50-50 split here.
But, trade alert.
Oh, trade alert.
I just received a trade offer for a 21-second going my way for Raheem Mostert.
Do that now.
What do you think, Bobby?
Oh, you know, I think Mostert is going to own that backfield. Well, I'm not saying that.
Let me freeze this conversation, because I actually included something I think further down the line about Mostert. So we'll talk about it later.
All right.
Sorry.
No, it's all good. We love the trade alerts. So if you get more, keep them coming.
Josh, you made a great point about taking the first. I get that. And a good example, I mean, even if you don't want it, even if you can, the value of those firsts, I had Murray on one of my teams this year, and
Kyler.
I had Watson and I have Dak Prescott. So I had all three quarterbacks, nice. And Fitzgerald. Anyway, I got a 104 and a 105 and I think a 202 for Murray. Mm. And of course I didn't have any picks going into the draft this year, but I parlayed those into quite a bit. I ended up with Rodgers and Haskins and Gallup. Of course, then they drafted Lamb, but I got Hooper. I ended up with a bunch of picks as well. And anyway, so you
rebuilt your roster with one player essentially.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
And I heard this on another pod, and I'm unfortunately my memory is not what it used to be, but I mean, I want to say it was rookie fever, but I could be wrong. You know, it was Dynasty Theory. That's what it was, with John Bauer, our good friend John Bauer. And he said, you know, you could have used the 101 this year, which in Superflex a lot of people were taking Joe Burrow with, and traded that for two guys that Bill and I talked about last week, Matt Stafford and Kirk Cousins. You could have gotten one of those plus another very valuable pick for the 101, or a pick or a piece, and you could have gotten a guy that you know can play in the league, a guy that you know can put up stats.
That's right.
Instead of the unknown in Joe Burrow. Bill and I both believe he's going to be good in the NFL, but we can't guarantee that. We right. can't sit here and say there's no doubt he's going to be good. We just
right.
we don't know, but we think he's going to be good. But instead of the we think he's going to be good, we can get one of those two guys that we know are good.
Absolutely.
Plus something else of high value, because let's face it, everyone takes a dump on Matt Stafford and Kirk Cousins every chance that they get, for right. what reason I don't know, but they just do.
Well, I think Stafford was doing really well before he got hurt last year, if I recall. So
yeah,
and he's always, I mean, I can't, Bill, you probably know this, you're a Lions fan, but I mean, hasn't he been in like a top 10 quarterback for like, I don't know, the last 8 or 9, 10 years or something?
Yeah, I mean, every year he's like, so yeah, every year he ends up a QB1. And right. I mean, unless he was injured, and I mean, there might have been one year in there where he just, you know, the team was just a dumpster fire, but yeah. Like most of the time, I mean, he's just such a good quarterback. And I mean, you know, people that don't watch him play all the time just don't understand how good of a quarterback he really is. Right. I mean, he's just another one of those Lions that, you know, his talent's getting wasted on a crap team, you know, and it's just, it's too bad. It's like Barry Sanders, Calvin Johnson. I mean, we have two all-time greats that just, yeah. you know, unfortunately didn't see any sort of success. So, but yeah, I mean, and actually when Josh and I were talking about those two guys, it's funny because I did an auction startup and those are my two starting quarterbacks in the Superflex are, Cousins and Stafford, and I am I'm thrilled. Cousins
doesn't get a whole lot of, you know. I mean, he takes it on the chin too in the fantasy realm, but you know, it's you know what you're getting, and nothing against Joe Burrow. It's just you know, he has yet to show us what he's going to do.
And, exactly. And so it's a little bit more of like the gambling. You know, you're buying a scratch off rather than just taking the money. That's and right. you see what happens. So, I think that's that, right?
Yeah, and it's perfect because this is what we call in the business a transition. Since we were talking about quarterbacks, we're going to go into our next question. Whoa. Question from Mason Dodd at Build the Dynasty. I love that. I love that handle, by the way. Jimmy Garoppolo, 2019, 8th in QBR. Led the 49ers to a 13-3 record and a Super Bowl berth. Yet because everyone's last image of him was overthrowing Emmanuel Sanders, he's being seen as a below average QB. This offseason, the team adds Trent Williams. They did that during the draft. They added a first round wide receiver in Brandon Ayuk. And his question, or not even a question, he says, go buy him. So Bill wrote in here, do you agree? So Bill, since you put the question on, do you agree? Are you out there trying to buy Jimmy Garoppolo?
I might be falling for the same trap that he's talking about, but I just can't seem to buy into him being a, you know, let's say a QB1. And when I'm buying quarterbacks, I'm buying quarterbacks that I feel comfortable I will have on my roster and will be starting in the NFL for 2 to 3 years. And I can't say that I'm comfortable with that for Jimmy Garoppolo. I think it's a dice roll if you buy him, because he could easily be replaced next year. And if he struggles this year, I mean, he has a pretty good guy behind him that showed well. So, I mean, I'm a little hesitant to say buy him. I just don't know if I'm comfortable. I would be fine having him as my QB3 in a super flex. Or if I have a QB, if he could be my QB2, if I know I have like one of those young quarterbacks that's going to be taking over and being a starter soon, you know, maybe if I have a Tua or I have a Herbert or, you know, maybe even a Haskins, like I'd be okay having Garoppolo as my number 2. But I don't see there being that job security that I want when I go to buy a quarterback.
So, Bobby, what do you think? Are you running out to buy? Oh.
I think we lost Bobby.
We lost Bobby. All right, so I'll just jump in here. So I had to look this up because my initial answer is, hell no, I ain't buying Jimmy Garoppolo. But I wanted to look into this just so that I didn't just say, hell no, I'm not buying Jimmy Garoppolo, and we moved on. So according to Fantasy Pros, Jimmy Garoppolo was number 14 on the season in total points. And you go, oh, that's a high-end QB2 in Superflex. It sounds like a really good idea. Then I went a little deeper. He played all 16 and averaged 16.27 points per game. Now, fortunately, I don't know if Fantasy Pros is 6 points per touchdown or 4 points per touchdown, but either way, that's how many points he scored. He scored 16.27 points per game. Ryan Fitzpatrick scored more points per game. Kirk Cousins scored more points per game. Gardner Minshew scored more points per game. Ryan Tannehill scored more points per game. So you kind of see what I'm getting here. Yeah, at the end of the season, he looks like a high-end QB2. But, you know, if you're looking at points per game, he starts sliding more towards that mid to back end QB2. Now, should you go out and buy him? If the Jimmy Garoppolo owner kind of feels like you did, Bill, and like I initially thought, maybe you can get him for a good price. And there, he's back. All right.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I apologize, man. I don't want this to turn into a 2-drink thing. Sorry, Jay.
Well played, sir.
Don't worry. You heard buying Jimmy Garoppolo, and you just had to get the hell out of here. I understand. Jimmy Garoppolo will do that to people.
I heard Bill talking, and I'm kind of the same way. I really, you know, you were reading some of the comments made about leading the 49ers to a, what was that, 13-3?
13-3.
I think the defense had something to say about leading that team to the record that they had. And you know what, I'm a big super flex guy, obviously, but I'll take quarterbacks most times, you know, but for whatever reason, I would turn Jimmy G away, but I'm not going to go out probably and try to acquire him.
Yeah.
And look, I think if you are high on Jimmy G, like our friend Mason here is, go out and do a price check on him. See what the Jimmy G guy thinks about him. Because if he thinks like the three of us think, maybe you get Jimmy G for a good price. You have a high-end QB3, or maybe you're in a bad spot. You only have one legitimate QB. Yep. He's a decent QB2 to have on your team. But
don't we always say go get your guy as well, you know? And if he wants him, go get him, you know?
Agreed. And listen, I'm in a 16 team super flex. Jimmy G was offered to me. There were other parts floating around in the deal, but the main aspects of it were I would get Jimmy Garoppolo and I would be giving up Tom Brady and a first. There were other pieces that really don't matter. And I said, I can't do it. First of all, I think Tom Brady is going to have a better season anyway. So to then have to give up a first on top of that didn't seem to, you know, make sense to me. But I mean, I'm in a 16 team super flex and my quarterbacks are Tom Brady and Mitch Trubisky. So he thought maybe he saw me in a vulnerable position and jumped. And I don't blame anybody for that. You got to shoot your shot. You know, right. You never know when someone panics and makes a move that they shouldn't. But I don't panic. So I said, you know, thanks, but no thanks. You keep Jimmy Garoppolo. I'll keep Tom Brady throwing to Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and Gronk and OJ Howard and maybe even a little Cameron Brate there. And now Keyshawn
Vaughn. What would you men say Garoppolo's value is in a 12 team? Is it like is it for picks, for instance, for like a 2021? Is it somewhere between a first and a second? Or I probably wouldn't give a second for it, but he's probably worth more than that, especially in a super flex.
Yeah, I'd say he's still worth a first. I mean, if you have a guy who you're pretty confident will be the starter this year, I pretty much always give a guy a first round. If a guy is going to be a starter for the year plus has a chance to continue being the starter in future years, I think he's automatically worth a first round pick. Like, especially when you get closer to the season and people need starters. If it's a guy who's just going to start this year and you're pretty sure he's not going to start next year, that's when I start dropping him below that first round line personally. Right. But I'm not going to pay that unless I'm really hard up for a quarterback. Right. Personally.
Now, Bill, you said earlier that you're unsure about his status past 2020. So are you still giving up that first for Jimmy G?
No, I'm just saying I'm unsure, but he at least has the opportunity to be a starter beyond this year. So that's like where I'm looking at it. So if I'm looking at Drew Brees, right? Like, he's pretty much this year, and I can't say with any level of confidence that he will be the starter next year.
Gotcha.
So that's different, or Tyrod Taylor, or, you know, get players like that. Whereas Garoppolo is their number one. He has been their number one. He's on contract, even though it's voidable. You know, there's a lot of things that he could still, if he has a good year this year, he's going to still be their quarterback next year, you know, whereas that's not the case with those other guys. Strides.
He could make some strides.
Absolutely.
Wasn't last year basically his only year playing under Shanahan?
Yeah. He blew his knee out and then this was it. So you know, and it seemed like always it takes guys a year or two to get used to it. Same thing, like that offense, like Matt Ryan, same situation, you know, playing under Shanahan. And so, you know, there is some potential there. And I mean, like, if I need a quarterback and that's the only player that somebody's willing to move because everybody else still needs all their quarterbacks, I mean, that's a move I'm okay making if I'm a contender and need a quarterback.
Right.
But if I'm a contender, I know it's going to be a late first. So that's where I'm comfortable paying that, you know.
Josh, when I fell out for a moment there, did you make any comments about Jimmy G? Or
yeah, I mean, I pretty much brought up the stat. I looked up his end of season total on Fantasy Pros. He was 14th on that list. But then if you break it down by points per game, he falls below guys like Ryan Tannehill and Ryan Fitzpatrick, Kirk Cousins. So you start seeing that all of a sudden a guy who at end of season looks like a high-end QB2 really more moves back towards the middle to end of that QB2 range once you break it down by points per game.
And that's a tip that I think a lot of people need to start looking at when they're looking at previous year statistics is, you know, sort it by points per game. It's just going to give you a way clearer picture. And take a look and see if there's games where they only played like a snap or two. And then you can even bump that information more. You know, if you have a guy who played 8 games, but he got injured in that 8th game and it happened to be in the first quarter, maybe take the points out of that 8th game and divide everything by 7 games, you know, and gives it might bump up their points per game by 3 points per game because of that. And, you know, it gives you a better idea of like how the player was actually performing, because some guys didn't play all 16 games like Josh was talking about. And that's typically what I do when I'm looking at previous year stats.
And we call that the Amari Cooper rule, when you look out there to see if they were only out there for 3 snaps or something like that, because that seems to be kind of Amari Cooper's MO. He does that more than I think anybody in the league. But yeah, I mean, and we do this during drafts too, because if we're looking at whatever site we're using, they have it sorted by ADP, and they'll probably put the end of year points on there, but they're not. That's not always the most accurate picture, because if, you know, Lamar Jackson plays 16 games and Patrick Mahomes plays 13 games, most likely Lamar Jackson is going to score more points overall. But, you know, if we break it down by points per game, Patrick Mahomes is almost always the leader in that category. So, right, you know, check it out and don't shortchange yourself the information. So let's move on to our next one from Joey Flatten at Joe Flat 007. So this is a Dynasty PPR league. He wants to let us know that he's the Miles Sanders owner. So here's a trade. Would you like to have Jonathan Taylor or DJ Chark, Kareem Hunt, Mike Gesicki, and Boston Scott? So Bobby, since you're with us, why don't you let us know?
I'm all over JT on this one. Of course, you know, you have I am a Taylor fan. I don't have any shares, but I think he's the number one. I know people are high on you know, that kid out of LSU,
Clyde Edwards.
I think Taylor's really going to crush it. And isn't James the Brain? Isn't he a big
JT fan? Big JT guy, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I would probably. Plus, I'm, and this is just a personal thing. What am I going to do with 4 players on my roster? And I don't know. There's some leagues that I guess you can make room, you know, mm-hmm. for those 4 players. But I typically don't like huge packages for one stud. And, you know, but we're going back to what we're talking about earlier when we're talking quarterbacks and we're talking Burrow. Until Taylor comes out, you know, in Indianapolis and actually does it on the football field, you know what you're getting. I'm a Hunt fan. I think even though he's in that backfield with Chubb, and they got Cleveland got a new kid, LeMay, who might surprise mm-hmm. a few people, who else was with that? Gesicki. He's yep, very sure. he's primed to have a good look. Who was the first one? Chark.
Chark. Know? Yeah.
I mean, yeah. That with the quarterback situation kind of settled in, you know. So, but I'd probably go JT.
What about you, Bill? Who are you going?
Yeah, you know, looking at that pile of players, I'm like, man, that's it's an interesting pile. Like Chark has huge upside, but like, I don't even necessarily know I'm sold on him doing what he did last year, this year. Kareem Hunt, I mean, what's he really going to be able to do with Chubb, you know, sharing the backfield with him? Gesicki, the new OC, was it Chan Gailey?
Yes.
Like if you look at how tight ends have done under his, you know, play calling, it's not good. And then Boston Scott, I mean, whatever. I mean, there's no the comment about Miles Sanders, that shouldn't be even taken into account. You know, you're not making this whole trade because of Boston Scott, I guess is my point. So there's really no need to say that. I'd much rather trade or have, I was going to say Justin Timberlake, Jonathan Taylor to share the backfield with Miles Sanders, as opposed to having all those other guys that are still have question marks. So I want the guy who's like that elite college running back that just destroyed the Big Ten, which is traditionally one of the best defensive conferences. So Wisconsin running backs are always going to do well because they always have ridiculous offensive lines and they have a really good offensive scheme for running the ball. But he did something that no one has ever done before, even there. And then he goes to a team that has an incredible offensive line in the NFL. So, like, I mean, he may not be as dynamic as CEH, but, like, as a true, pure running back, I mean, how can you deny him? So I'm going with the guy that I just think has by far the highest ceiling, as opposed to a bunch of guys who can be, you know, potentially above average at their position.
And Bill, you brought up a really good point, and it was something I was going to bring up if you didn't. Miles Sanders, you having Miles Sanders does not factor into this at all. I mean, Boston Scott is a guy, and honestly, if Miles Sanders does go down, we don't even know that he's the next man up, so to speak. The Eagles they play a very Patriots style when it comes to the running back position. They like to have a lot of different guys that do a lot of different things, and they kind of put them in and move them around like chess pieces. I mean, we saw it last year. It was Jordan Howard and Miles Sanders, and then Jordan Howard got hurt, and then it was Miles Sanders and Boston Scott. And they have, you know, I think like 78 running backs on the roster right now. So I don't even necessarily think that if Miles Sanders went down, Boston Scott would become this asset that we all need to have. But now that we got that out of the way, I think what would have been a better piece of information to put in here, is this a team that is trying to win a championship this year, or is this a team that's rebuilding? Because if this is a team that's rebuilding, I'm all over the package. Because honestly, DJ Chark could be a top 13 to 16 wide receiver. Kareem Hunt in 2021 is going to be somewhere new. He could be in a position where he makes himself a top 10 running back. Mike Gesicki, I think, is going to need a year to get used to Chan Gailey's offense. I actually think he's going to be used more in a slot role than in a typical tight end role, which Chan Gailey's offense loves to run out four wide receivers all the time and just throw it all over the place. And if he's the slot, he could be a top eight tight end in 2021. And then Boston Scott, whatever is Boston Scott. But I think you could get three guys that could dramatically upgrade what you're doing in 2021 and maybe not score you a ton of points in 2020, which will help your rebuild because it'll give you a higher pick. But if you're that championship team, take Jonathan Taylor, pair him with Miles Sanders. You have two legitimate powerhouse running backs, I think. And it may take JT a little bit to get going with everything that's going on with the pandemic. You know, they're not doing their normal off-season routine. So it may be a month into the season before you start seeing Jonathan Taylor do the things that he does in Indianapolis. But probably by week five, week six, you're going to see that beast out there and you're going to be happy that he's on his team. So that's my answer. If I'm on the rebuild, I take that package. I think there's a lot of high upside pieces in that package. If you're going for a chip, take Jonathan Taylor and go win yourself something. That was a good conversation, guys, because we really, you know, it's an interesting trade. So I think it was good to talk about them. So we got this one from Vernon Meehan. I hope I said that right, Vernon. at FFB_Vern. If someone asks you if you're willing to sell player X, is sure for the right price actually a helpful answer? If you're saying an overpay is required, just say so and give some indicator of the ballpark of acceptance criteria. So I love getting into these little kind of theory questions because everybody does things a little bit differently. So Bobby, if someone asks you if player X is for sale and you say sure for the right price, or let's say you get that answer from somebody, is that a helpful answer for you?
I don't think it is. Isn't everybody on your roster tradable at some point? I guess it is kind of code for saying, hey, sure, you can have them if you overpay. Mm-hmm. And I guess it probably would be, you know, at least pragmatically, more helpful to just come out and say, yeah, I'm probably going to want a little bit more than you might be willing to pay for this player, but I'm willing to talk. Mm-hmm. So I guess that would be my answer. I don't think it's, of course, I probably said that myself. And, right. And so I'm guilty as charged.
What about you, Bill? Is it helpful?
I mean, it's helpful because I know the guy's available. I mean, the answer of sure. I mean, that at least gives me some information. I don't interpret the for the right price as meaning that it needs to be an overpay personally. Like, that's not, whenever anybody says that, I just say like, okay, you know, if I can meet whatever their price is, then that's fine. Like, that's kind of the way I look at it. I'm not looking at it as though they're telling me that I should expect to overpay. So, I mean, that's an issue right there. Just interpreting what somebody says. And if you're immediately going to that, it's a negative comment, then maybe you need to ask a next question. You know what I mean? And find out, because,
or if
you get put off by that comment, I mean, it doesn't matter, right? Like, you're already kind of imploding your own potential trade.
Right.
So, like, I would rather go, okay, well, what's the right price? Like, that's going to be like my question when I hear that, because we don't know. Like, hit the right price for him might be lower than market, you know, who knows? Mm-hmm. So there's no way I'm going to be the reason that I prevent me from getting a guy that I just asked about. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If he goes, no, he's not available, there's nothing I do about it. But if I'm going to just blow up my own, like, almost like, what do they call it? You self,
destruct.
Implode.
Yeah. Or you self, I can't even remember the term, but yeah, you're basically ruining your own chance of success.
You're sabotaging yourself.
Self-sabotage. Thank you. And like, that just seems like why I even do that. So yeah, I'd rather do a follow-up question and find out where he is.
Yeah, and I actually responded to Vernon on this one, and he liked my reply, so I guess he was cool with my answer. I said, the people that know me, and Bill knows me, we're in leagues together, everybody on my team is for sale at any time. I mean, if you come to me and you give me a deal that knocks me off my feet, I don't care. I don't care if it's Patrick Mahomes. I don't care if it's Lamar Jackson. You know, I don't care. If you hit me with the right price, I will sell that guy. So that's the first thing. It's knowing the people in your league. If you know there's a guy that is a notoriously stingy trade partner, well, yeah, he's probably going to say, sure, but you're going to have to give me way more than what his value is, because if not, I'm not going to trade. That's the type of person he is. But if you know someone's a little bit looser, I mean, it's all about knowing the people in your league. And Bill nailed it on the head. I don't believe in giving people criteria. Like, if you ask me, hey, like, I'm interested in Saquon Barkley, looks like you need wide receivers. Are you actually looking for wide receivers, or maybe you just want to build up a bunch of running backs? You can ask those kind of questions and kind of nail down more of what the person is looking for, but I as the person who has the player am not going to bid against myself. And that's actually what I said in the reply. If I start telling you, oh, well, I'd like, you know, and let's use Saquon Barkley. Oh, I'd like Juju and a first for Saquon Barkley. Say that's what my response is. He's chuckling because he's like, crap, I would have given him Juju and two firsts. That's what I thought his value is. Now, all of a sudden, I just talked myself out of an extra first round pick when I didn't need to. I could have just told him, hey, look, looking for picks. I'm looking for wide receivers. Put something together and let's see if we can get a trade. So, yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, for the right price does give you some information. Like Bill said, it lets you know the player is available. If you say, hey, Bill, you got Saquon Barkley. Is he available? And, you know, our boy Brian Haar, big Saquon fan. I'm sure if you go to him and say, is Saquon available? He's probably going to say, not really, but if you make a, you know, amazing trade that I can't refuse, sure, I'll sell him.
Yeah.
You know.
Give me Mahomes and Lamar and
right.
We'll be good.
And a first-round pick, and I'll give you Saquon.
It might even take more.
Right. And that's the thing, like, but if, you know, if you say no, Saquon's right. not for sale, like he's my guy, I'm riding him until he retires. Like Bill said,
well, I like Bill's point about asking, well, what is the right price? You know, I mean, obviously, you know, that's
and the you don't have question. Yeah, and you don't have to answer that if somebody asks you that. You can just be like, well, you know, these are the player, you know, exactly what Josh just said. You know, this is kind of what I feel my team needs. Mm-hmm. Or this is where I feel my team is headed. So this is what I'm looking for, and let them make that first offer. I mean, honestly, right. There's times where I've made offers. It so varies just depending on the situation, how much somebody really wants that player, how much I really want the player. You know what I mean? Like there's different dynamics right. and just, you might catch somebody at the right time. I got Allen Robinson for 2 seconds. You know what I mean? It's like, just, you just don't know. And that was his counter to me, you know, and it was just crazy to me. And
right.
like, you just don't know. And that was the right price for this guy on that moment, you know? So
now let me ask another quick question. Mm-hmm. If we ask somebody, is player X available? And the other owner says, sure, for the right price. And then it's on me to ask, well, what is the right price? Mm-hmm. Hasn't that kind of turned around? I kind of would, cause if I'm the other guy who's saying for the right price, now I'm the one who has to like lay out a trade for the guy who's approaching me for the player.
Well, you don't have to, you can at least go, well, I mean, I don't really know the price, but this is kind of what I'm looking for in my,
right.
you know, looking for my team, and feel free to throw right. me an offer, but you know, right. or here's the five guys on your roster that I like, you know, if you include some of those, you know, some of those pieces, you know, I'll consider your offer.
Right.
You don't have to give a price.
I guess the reason I thought it wasn't too helpful, at least for me, is because sure. when I ask that question and somebody says that, I would much rather they say, well, what did you have in mind? Mm-hmm. I mean, because that also tells me that player is available, and then yeah. I'm able to proceed and say, well, I yep. was kind of thinking perhaps this and this or what have you.
Right. And that's valid. So. And I think that's probably something that, you know, as a, cause I think I'm right there with you. I've made that comment back to somebody asking me before. And, right. you know, I think probably, like you say, a lot of people have done that, and you know, it's not a good conversation, a good way to continue a conversation by right. making that comment, because you kind of make them have to ask another question on top of the question they just asked you. And it's just like, okay, right. yeah, you just do all the work kind of thing. You know what I mean? Right. And so, yeah, I mean, it's probably not the best response to give, but I mean, I don't think it's a conversation ender either.
So, and I'll kind of end this question on this. You can all... What I like to do when someone says, yeah, for the right price, I look at their team and I go, hey, it looks like you need wide receivers and, you know, maybe you need a pick or two because you traded them away. What do you think if I sent you something with a wide receiver and some picks? You can still gauge what they're interested in, because they might look at their team and say, no, I need running backs, and I'm fine without having wide receivers or picks on my team. And then that way you can more gauge what they're looking for without having to come up with the trade yourself. Get, you know, I'm a cynical person, so I always assume that if someone says, yeah, for the right price, like if they send me a trade offer, it's going to be like the biggest trade they could possibly imagine them honestly getting for the guy, which is probably not what I would be willing to pay.
Right.
So I try to ask questions that lead me in the right direction without actually, you know, having to now come up with the trade myself. But we got one more question we want to slip in here before we slide out for the night. And this is from Elvis Ryan at Elvin Ryan underscore FF. The 49ers plan to extend Raheem Mostert's contract. While Tevin Coleman and Jared McKinnon are entering the final years of their contract and Matt Breida has been shipped to Miami, this tells me everything I need to know. Buy Raheem Mostert today. Do you agree? Bill, do you agree?
I mean, there's a reason I put this on here.
Should we skip it?
So I think that, like, I think that that process is, it's loaded with landmines, in my opinion. Because I think that when you're saying, okay, well, these other two running backs are in the last year of their contract, does that mean you think they're not going to re-sign other running backs to take over those places? You know, like, that's when I think you can kind of tell a story that you want to hear, as opposed to a story that's probably likely to happen. And so that's where I kind of go, I don't know if he's a buy today. Like, he's a fine buy. If he's somebody I just want for this year, but I can't trust him being the guy that's going to get all the carries. I mean, at the end of the year, he got all the carries because everybody was hurt. So it's like, I don't agree, I guess is my answer. Like, I'm okay buying him if it's like, I need a running back and, you know, he's a fine, like, third running back in my opinion, but nothing above that, I don't think.
What about you, Bobby?
I think he's probably going to get the majority. I think until he doesn't produce, he's probably, you know, going to be the guy with the starting job. And they might bring Jerick McKinnon in for, you know, to catch a few balls. Coleman's going to come in and get a few carries. But by and large, I think the majority of the carries are going to go to him. I think it really depends also on your situation and your team. If I'm going for a championship, I might, you know, I don't think it's going to be that expensive. And so I might go ahead and try to acquire him. And I think he might be somebody that could be helpful if I'm really going to be competing for a championship.
Are you paying a second round pick for him?
Is that what it is? Is that what the question is?
Well, that's what my trade offer I got was that I was starting to.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Earlier, yeah.
How about Elvin? What was his? He was just making a comment. Go out and buy.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I could tell right now you're not going to give a second for him. I would. Am I going to?
Yeah. Because it's not a right or wrong answer here, you know.
No, there isn't. I might give a late second for him depending on my circumstances and the team and the league that I'm in. I might do that. But I might not. So, I mean, I hate that. That's not really an answer. I guess I ought to fall one side of the fence, huh?
Yeah, I mean, so the guy
wouldn't. I could, but I more times than not, I'm not going to get a second. I'd probably, you know, give a third for him.
Okay, and odds are somebody's not going to trade him to you for a third.
Right,
right.
Right. So, I mean, it's probably you're not going to get a lot of shares of him. The guy that's offering me had the 108, 208, 308 slot. So, I mean, he's kind of, you know, give or take a few picks either way, I would imagine. So it is kind of a mid to late second.
I think.
So you're going to do it?
You know what? Like, this team has no running backs on it. Like, I've been like in a rebuild. Like, I have some decent young quarterbacks. I have a million like upside wide receivers, a couple good tight ends, and my running backs have just been empty. Like, that's kind of how I've been doing my rebuild a little bit. And so he's my running back one right now, and Boston Scott is my running back two. So that just shows you like where I am with my running backs. But my team has so much talent now, but it's really young talent. So my thought is to not move them for that, just because I need to give myself the chance if my team blows up early in the season, like, you know, just go, you know, shoots off like a rocket ship with all the talent I have. I have so many good wide receivers and, you know, all these young guys, you just don't know how much, like, who's going to improve. I mean, this team might look like a rebuild right now, but in week six might be going, holy cow, this team is really good. All you need to do is add one running back because you already have Raheem Mostert. You know, who knows? So it's kind of one of those things, like, I have four first rounders going in next year already and a second rounder. So it's like,
yeah, you need that.
You know, it might be more worth me just holding on to Mostert. You know, it might be worth me holding on to him because, like, what am I really going to do? I have so many talented players now anyway. Like, what's another late second rounder going to do for me? It's kind of my thought. So I don't know. Like, I'm kind of leaning towards not doing it, but it's a solid offer, I think.
Yeah, it's a solid offer. And I mean, even explaining your team the way it is, I think I'd take the deal. And I kind of called this the Bruce Arians theory. Last year, we said, well, OJ Howard's going to be good because Bruce Arians has never had a tight end as good as OJ Howard. It's going to happen because the season happened and we were like, oh shit, Bruce Arians really is not going to throw the ball to this guy, no matter how talented we think they are. Now, if we look at this from the San Francisco 49ers point of view, what has Shanahan done since he has been with the 49ers? It's been a bunch of different guys at running back. I mean, it was supposed to be Jerick McKinnon, and then that didn't happen. He got hurt. And then it was Matt Breida, and then it was Jeff Wilson. You know, last year they signed Tevin Coleman, and we think he's going to be the guy, and Jerick McKinnon gets hurt again. And, you know, and again, we pull out Jeff Wilson, and then all of a sudden Raheem Mostert comes out of nowhere and you know, kills it. What makes us think that all of a sudden Raheem Mostert has figured out the way to be the main guy in San Francisco when nobody has ever been the main guy in San Francisco? I mean, they still have Jerick McKinnon. They have Tevin Coleman. They have Jeff Wilson. They have Raheem Mostert. They signed Jamichael Hasty as an undrafted free agent. I mean, this is what Shanahan does. He stockpiles running backs and then just kind of deploys them. I mean, sometimes it doesn't even make sense how he deploys them, but it works. I mean, they're always one of the best running teams in the league. I just can't believe that Raheem Mostert has cracked that code to be the guy. And I think that people who are and I think what Bobby said is a lot of what I'm hearing on Dynasty Twitter, that Raheem Mostert kind of has figured it out and will be that guy. And I just, I personally find it hard to believe based on the history I've seen from the San Francisco 49ers in the Shanahan era. And actually, he does a lot of the same stuff that his dad used to do with kind of just, you know, they can find running backs anywhere, put them in, get them 1,000 yards, and you never hear from those guys again. So it's interesting, and it's all about your belief in Raheem Mostert. I mean, Bill, you made a really good point about your team personally. If a lot of your young talent hits, then it's probably good to have Raheem Mostert there because he's at least something, you know, because your RB2 is Boston Scott, and we kind of, you know, poo-pooed him a little bit in the last question. But a mid to late second round pick probably won't do much for you, but that might be something you can use in a trade if your team does blow up. You package one of your four firsts in that late second and maybe get yourself a, you know, a Joe Mixon if he's kind of not where he's supposed to be, or, you know, he held out for the first 4 weeks of the season and he's kind of working himself into shape. Maybe you get him at a little bit of a discount and, you know, or, I mean, there's tons of other guys. He was just the first guy to pop into my head. But, it's interesting because you and Bobby brought up a lot of good points about why Raheem Mostert might be good to price check or keep on your team if you're in a position like Bill is. And, you know, I'm just giving a little different point of view, just, you know, based off of what I've seen. So,
I don't own Mostert on any of my teams. And I think Bill's going to be pleased with him this year. But at the same time, you know, the 208, I don't know. I guess you guys feel like that's fair offer. I guess I can't argue with that, but he's not a spring chicken. I think he's going to be good. I think he is going to pretty much get most of the carries unless he gets hurt or something, only because he got his chance. He showed what he kind of broke out. He showed what he can do. I think he's going to hold on to that and ride that. What is he, 28 years old? I mean, he'll be
29 during the season.
Okay, so I just think that he's going to probably try to make the most of his opportunities that he can. And but Josh, you made some good points. You know, both of you do. Shanahan, you know, gets a stable full of running backs, and that's how he runs. So,
yeah, and it'll be interesting to see what happens with Mostert this year. And you know, maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong. We'll see. It'll be interesting. But on that note, I think we're going to get out of here. I mean, we've had a great time. Bobby, thank you for coming on with us, man. Appreciate
it. Thank you.
It was awesome having you on. A lot of knowledge spit right there.
I really appreciate the opportunity to just talk some fantasy football with you, man. And the plugs you were giving out for Scott Fishbowl. And, hey, did you guys see that I guess Scott made some comments about next year he was going to do it this year, I believe, some live drafting, you know, of course, with the COVID-19, that kind of, you know, put a stop to that, but maybe going, you know, around the world. So
that's awesome. Do live drafts. Well, listen, Yeah,
that would be fun. That'd be fun. I really want to thank you guys for inviting me on. This was really fun. Thank you very much.
Of course, man. We appreciate you, man. And, you know, we appreciate everyone that was in the chat. We saw people popping in and out. Our man, Brian Haar, Meatloaf Wildcat was in here. J Money Jarrett, I always see that dude on Twitter. We talk a lot in the DMs as well. He was in here. Even if you just popped in, didn't say anything, and watched us for a little bit, you know, we appreciate you. If you're watching on YouTube, remember to hit subscribe, hit the bell so you know when we go live. You know, remember, that's that network, the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network on YouTube. If you need to search us out, we'll also put the link in the description so you can find us easy enough. If you're listening to podcasts, you know, we appreciate that too, man. Sometimes it's hard to get in here Wednesday at 9. So if you're listening to us on Thursday or Friday or any day, you know, we appreciate that as well. And if you're doing so, just remember to subscribe, rate, review. We appreciate it. Tell a friend. You know, leave a comment. You know, good, bad, or indifferent. You know, we read them all, and we kind of take what you guys say to heart and try to incorporate it in what we do. So, Bill, with all of that out of the way, we're out of here.
Late.
Thank you, man.